Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's Boucher. The three, got it from Montreal. His name is Chris Boucher.
We are live, CB.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to another episode of Hustle Play with Chris Boucher. I am Mike Roach. CB, what's happening, good, brother?
What's up, man?
Long time, man.
Good to see you, man. Good to
had
see you.
Had to get these playoffs out the way. Had to make sure you were staying focused for that series.
Man, I was trying my best, man.
You showed out, though.
First of the best challenge. That was a challenge, man. The first game, I'm going to lie to you, man. The energy in Philly, that was different. I went to Warriors and saw a playoff game, and it's not the same when you're in it. Just not the same.
The energy looked crazy out there in Philly. Overall, I mean, Murphy's Law in game one. Mm-hmm. Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably the best way you can put it. But what were your thoughts on that series overall?
I think it took us a minute to get to where we could play. Obviously, I think we had a good streak of basketball where we were playing our best basketball. And I think when the playoff came in, there was one or two games where we wasn't doing the simple thing that we used to do, the simple schemes, the simple rotations. And I think that cost us, obviously game three, we played a good game, and then buzzer beater, that killed us. But that shows the fight that we have too. We weren't going to get sweep game four. We go back, we win, and then game five we win, and we're like, okay, we got a chance. We go out their place and beat them. I think if we would have started the series like that, it would have been a different story for sure.
I mean, how do you sleep at night in regards to before the playoffs start, during the series? Are you up constantly thinking, or do you sleep peacefully?
No, that playoff sleep is a little different. I won't lie to you that, depending on how the game goes, your sleep would be different. You could be sleeping and be excited about the next game and about showing what you're capable of doing and winning and getting close to a championship. Or you could start like we did. I know the first two games, nobody slept well. Nobody was happy with the condition that we were in. And injuries and then not playing well, having Freddie going through what he was going. I think that was just a lot of stuff that definitely could have break everybody's mind. But I think we handled it like man, and got a lot of experience. We're a young team, and that's where, the fruit of this playoff is going to bring is that we got the experience now. And that is great, especially with guys like Scottie Precious. Pascal just needed to showcase what he was capable of doing again, because I think a lot of people sleeping on him and not realizing what he could really do. So Gary, everybody.
Well, you guys figured it out. It was just figured it out late.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Pretty much, because like you said, if game three goes differently, right?
It's a 3-2. It's a different story. I think we go over there and beat them. They come to our house. I don't think they're coming with the same energy, I think when we beat them at their house, they felt a little bit they let their fan down, blah blah blah. Let's do the same thing to them over there. And after game three, they felt like they could do it. I feel like if they didn't win that game, I don't think that's going on. After the shot Joel made, I don't think he don't make that. It's over.
What surprised you most about that series?
The way we handled it. I think it's, you know, like, we're a young team, man. We could have been like, okay, we're done, you know. But I didn't see anybody felt like the series was over, you know. Even after we were down, you know, 3-0. It was like, okay, that was a terrible shot. That was, like, really hard to take. Like, that was a terrible play for us to fell on, you know, like, just everything that just happened and, like, us miscommunication and somebody just leaving. It just hurts, you know. Like, you feel like you could have done better just in general. And then after that, and we do that every time. Like, we actually are, like, so good at, like, guarding out of bounds plays and all that. So, like, obviously, like, I don't think, like, I think what really, really hurt us is just that it happened. Not that we can't do it. We can't guard that. And then that's probably why we won more games. It's just because we know we can guard that.
You guys, I believe, were the second youngest team in the playoffs. Like,
yeah. I'm not helping that, though. Me and Todd not helping that, huh?
No, but I'm just saying, like, even after being down 0-3, being down 0-3, you guys look actually really calm
going into that fourth game. We do got vets, you know, Pascal, Fred already been there, OG already been there, Todd already been playing playoff before. I'm just there. Honestly, I don't really get fazed about a lot of stuff. And then you got a lot of young guys that wanted to prove themselves, Scotty, Gary, Precious. So that's a great combination to have, a group of guys like that that just want to go get it all.
What's the message in the locker room from your coaches besides we got to keep fighting?
One game at a time. That's how we were going in, one game at a time. You know, you go, it's 3-0, you won one game, it's 3-1 now. Another game you won again, it's 3-2. And that's how we were going, you know, one more game. By the time you realize you played three games, it's 3-3, game seven. That's how we were thinking.
Playing against Joel Embiid. I mean, people get to see him on television, but
that boy huge, man.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Jeez. Listen, when I'm out there pregame on that court, hours before the game starts, I'm watching you warm up and the rest of the guys from both teams. That is a massive human being.
Hell yeah, man.
Like, massive. What is it like playing against him? Before I ask you about the brawl that almost broke out between the both of you.
I always felt like I was a giant. Like, I always called myself a giant and, like, somebody that's, like, just, like, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm taller than everybody and all. But, like, he has, like, he's like a fridge. Like, he's literally huge. Like, if you walk by him, like, it makes you realize, okay, well, at any point, this guy, like, some, you know, some fouls that he does and stuff, you're like, if that guy really wanted to hit you or really want to do something bad, you're not getting up. Like, he could just fall on you, and I don't think you could get up. Like, you know, you stepped on Scottie's boy's leg. Like,
I thought he could have injured you with that cheap shot he gave you in the back.
Yeah, that was kind of wrong. I don't even know why he did that. You already won the game. But to be honest with you, like, he had a lot of plays where, you know, we didn't go easy on him either. But that was dirty play. I think that was just, you didn't have to do that, to be honest with you. Like, I wasn't even looking. Like, you could box me out so easy. Like, I barely box out. I usually just jump over. So, yeah, it was a bad, you know, I didn't like the play, but I do respect him a lot.
How do you feel that you've played over the season after making that transformation from not playing so well to playing the way you did now? I mean, like, what would you say if you were sitting in the stands watching yourself play? What do you think you'd say about yourself?
I mean, it depends because if you started and you were like, you know, trade him and I don't like him and all that, I don't know what you could say about me now because I feel like I played my hardest every time. So even the bad time, I played my hardest. It's just, I just make great decisions. So I don't know how you could judge me about that, but, like, I mean, I don't hate nobody, you know. For example, I know I have true fans in there that, to the ups and downs, they were there, and I'm welcoming the new ones, and everybody that hates you, if you do something right, you're like, somebody's going to hate. Somebody's going to be hating on you, so I must be doing something right.
Let me ask you this now. The Maple Leafs are in the playoffs as well, okay? Yeah. They are currently in battle. So from a mental standpoint, if you could send a message to them, right, what would it be?
They got it, man. Like, the way that they are, man, like, I don't even know how, you know, coming from, like, I'm in a bad position to say that, but I do like watching hockey, right? So watching them play right now, they just seem like they gluing together, you know what I'm saying? Then they had a little down, but, like, you know, it's the Lightning, and they won game one. Like, they doing just fine. They just got to keep doing it. Like, yesterday was a little messed up, but they came back. You know, it was like 5-3. So, no, they got this. You know, I don't think they need anything from a basketball player to, but I'm behind them.
Now, I can't call you Toronto Raptors forward Chris Boucher anymore. It's free agent forward Chris Boucher.
That feels good, man.
Feel blessed?
Feels blessed, yeah.
What goes through your mind when you hear that?
I mean, I've been waiting for a long time to be a free agent. Just, I mean, it's not even about wanting to leave or wanting to, you know, be somewhere else or having more, for example, opportunity. But, like, it's more about, like, just all the hard work that you had, you did, something's coming for it. You know, like, I've been restricted agent. I've been on a two-way. I've been waived. Like, I have all that. And it took me, like, what, 6 years, almost, like, 5.5 years to get there. You know what I'm saying? To be actually an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, just for my family, the people that helped me, like, that's a good moment for us to just kind of realize how far we've come and, you know, make the right decision, too. Because, obviously, you know, it's not because you're a free agent and all that that you could just decide that you're going to just sign something and not worry about anything else, because you got a life, you got people around you, and, you know, you got to think about them too.
Have you spoken to any of your vets and gotten any advice on kind of like what the process is like there? Or?
Nope.
No?
I didn't think about free agency once yet. I haven't think about what I want to do or anything. I'm not even, like I said, when the season was over, I just wanted to, you know, relax and just, like, I've been the most relaxed I've been in my whole life, just knowing that, you know, I've tried my best. I wanted to win the championship, but, like, I played the best that I could with all the energy I have, and now the season's over, I can relax and just, you know, wait for whatever God's got for me, because at this point right now, I think I've done my part and, you know, just showing what I'm capable of doing and putting all the energy, you know, working hard and going 100% every day.
Do you look at different factors? Do you consider different aspects of it, like things that are important to you that can contribute to depending on where you land?
I mean, I don't know, because I feel like I don't really know what a free agency, like what the market look like, what is, you know, what other city looks and all that. Like, I never really thought about it. All I was thinking about is being in Toronto and, you know, living my life here. I'm Canadian. And I was just playing basketball. You know, I was that young kid, like, that just wanted to, you know, play basketball and, well, hopefully get to the point that I am now. So, beside that, like, now that you're here, it's like, okay, you kind of gotta wake up and realize that it's here. But I'm still not thinking about it right now, to be honest with you. The playoff is still going. I'm watching the games and stuff, wishing that, you know, we could be there. And, you know, there's great basketball going now, so you can learn a lot from that too. So,
what does Chris Boucher do in the off season? What do you do to have fun? What do you do to let loose?
I go to Ireland with my friends and just chill, have fun, play dominoes, go to the beach, go to a boat.
Just straight up chilling.
Yeah.
You don't want to do anything.
I don't do nothing. And I'm telling you, when I retire, this is going to be the same thing. Like, I'm making myself... I want to make enough of myself money and, like, invest it everywhere so I could just be in the island and do whatever. Call me whenever you need me. I'll come in a PJ and come right back and go right back home. I want to live like that.
Speaking of retirement, okay, you're still a ways away from that. But yeah. Have you ever thought about anything possibly if you wanted to do after? Because, I mean, you're doing this show right now. Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing anything in media or anything?
I'm going to just do a bunch of stuff for the kids first, like the camps and stuff. Like, I'm going to Montreal, open schools and stuff. Like, the same thing LeBron did, I want to do some stuff like that in Canada and just do it in Montreal for sure first. And then if it gets big enough, where I get big enough to do it in everywhere in Canada, then I will. But I want to do stuff like that, have people run it and, you know, create jobs at the same time and, you know, own places. And then, yeah, maybe I have my little show after. But I'm scared I have a show when I retire, because then after that, there's nothing I can't say. And that's the problem.
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I might get fined a couple of times. I'm losing some sponsors over some stuff I'm going to say. I might not want to do that.
But that's what we want to see, though. That's you.
Yeah, me.
That's why people love this show.
Yeah, but some sponsors, some sponsors, like, they love you for something that you do.
You might get more sponsors.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get the nice one that, you know what I'm saying, that on TV commercials. I'll be like, this guy curse every time. We don't put that on TV.
Put it on the internet.
Yeah, but that's clout, man. I don't chase the clout.
You're not chasing clout, though. You just do your thing.
If it's internet, if it's social media, that's straight clout. That's straight clout.
Have you seen Draymond Green's podcast?
Yeah.
This dude's doing a podcast, like, post-game, after the game.
Yeah.
That's some pretty cool stuff.
But do you see the difference between that and Barbershop? Or...
Yes. I see your point.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
I do. You know what I see what you're saying. Like, that. I see dude,
like
saying.
That's kind of show I want to get to. Like, you know, like this podcast right here, like, that's a type of show I want to do without having to somehow, because I won't have a job, you know what I'm saying? So, like, some stuff that you really have inside, deep inside, or like some stories that you don't want everybody to know because you're still in the league and stuff, I might be able to say, not on people, but on what I was thinking during that time.
Cool, I understand that. Have you been watching any of the playoffs?
Yeah.
Speaking of Draymond Green, yeah. I mean, we've seen some rough play.
Yeah, well, my boy's part of it.
Your boy got suspended.
Dylan Brooks,
yeah, man. What's been your take on that series so far? It's a damn good series.
Yeah, it's a great series. Ja's sick.
He's something else.
He's different. I like Jordan Poole. Jesus, that boy's different too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Dylan did it on purpose. I know Dylan, and during the moment, he probably said, if I block this, if I make a game-changing play this, yelling all this, it's changing the game.
Yeah.
But you messed it. You messed it up.
You messed it up.
And then he realized it after he hit him in the head. But, yeah, man. And Gary Payton's one of my boys, too.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Knees hurt, and that hurt me because he went to Oregon State. I played against him. He was in Gold, when I went to Golden State my first year, he was in the G League and all that. And like, he's been working his ass off to be like where he's at now, man. He got hurt. Hopefully, like, you know what I'm saying, like, people still see what he could do, because I mean, it's just an elbow. He's gonna come back from that. But he hustles, you know, like, man, I like him a lot, but, you know, things happen, man.
Who do you think's going to win it all?
I go for Phoenix, man.
Phoenix?
Yeah.
You think they have enough in the end?
I just think they've been there before. Mm-hmm. And at this point, like, if Golden State get kicked out by Memphis and Phoenix going to be a good game, but I don't know. I like Phoenix, man. I like their shooter. I like Mikal Bridges. Like, guys like this that just do two-way. They just do their job. And, you know what I'm saying? Then you got Chris Paul, the best point guard. And then you got Devin Booker that plays like Kobe sometimes. So, like, it's kind of hard to stop that team right now. DeAndre Ayton, that's another guy. Cool.
What do you think about the East? Were you surprised to see Brooklyn get bounced out like that in a sweep?
Yeah, KD's my guy. I mean, everybody get their moments, so I don't know what it is. Like I said, I do know that it's not the only thing that stopped KD from getting where KD wants to be is KD, nobody else. You know, like, I don't think anybody, I think Boston did anything to that would change, but I think it's KD.
Really? I mean.
No.
damn.
I think it's KD. I think KD, something with KD that made KD play that way. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all. And but you see KD playing against teams, and when KD's there, he's there. Mm-hmm. So I don't. But Boston's a really good team too, so they might go all the way.
Now we're talking NBA playoffs, talking a little bit of media. I want to talk to you about Charles Barkley and Shaq, because they mentioned that Toronto's a team that's kind of in no man's land because they're good enough to make the playoffs, but they don't really have a superstar who can kind of take them over the edge. Do you believe really that you need to have a superstar to win it all in this league, or can you win from a collective group?
No, I think the league is changing where it could be a collective group. You know what I'm saying? Like, but to be honest with you, like, I think if they think that about us, that's why I think about everything they say. Like, some, you said you were going to get swept. After you said that, I don't even know if I could listen to anything you said. Shaq and Charles. Like, how many times did they say stuff and it don't happen? Okay, so if they think that about us and think we can't win a championship, now what's new about that? I know for sure that the team that we had, nobody thought we could get there. So
no, you guys greatly exceeded expectations.
Yeah, so if we all go back this summer and all get better. Mm-hmm. Pascal, you think he's not a superstar? He's going to be an all-NBA. Mm-hmm. Fred was an all-star. I don't know what you're saying. What do we don't have? It's just because we're young, obviously. And you guys don't watch us. So you don't know much.
They don't watch.
You don't watch us. Like, you probably watch, like, what, when you say, oh, the Raptors are in the playoff? Okay, let me go watch a couple of games, see how they play, and start talking. Watch us. And then you could talk how much you want.
If you can give a few words, a sentence at most, about the players I'm about to say, just a few of them. Fred VanVleet.
Leader.
Scotty Barnes.
Special.
Pascal Siakam.
I think Pascal is crazy because, like, I've seen Pascal literally go from the enemy to a superhero in a year. Mm-hmm. In a year. Like, it's amazing how he did that. Like, he literally went from, you suck, go back to wherever you went from, you can't play this and that, and came back and look what he was doing.
Did he really suck that much, though? That's kind of the
changed?
Fans
what
thing.
What changed, though? What did you guys really see that changed besides, like, him literally being here in his head now and having a better IQ?
There's nothing much
Pascal's
changed,
doing
really.
The same thing. He's been doing the same thing for the last three years.
Yeah.
It's just that he had a bad slump where he wasn't playing well. That's it. Like, Pascal could have did that for the next 3 years. Let's say Pascal didn't have a bad year. Are we talking like that about Pascal?
No, absolutely at all. Not. Absolutely not.
That's what people don't understand. And you sit here and you watch and you're like, okay, well, you know what? The same way y'all was laughing about the spin move that he used to do when he was doing it this year, he dropped 40. How much time would he be? Mm-hmm. That's how it is, man. That's just how it is.
Couple more. Gary Trent Jr.
Sniper. No, boy, just, if you play Call of Duty, you see how sometimes you walk around and pew, that's him.
Yeah, JoJo.
Sniping. Yeah, JoJo.
OG Anunoby.
Unique.
Last one, Chris Boucher.
I'm different. I'm just, I think everybody would say that. If you talk to anybody, I'm just different. I think I'm not even supposed to be in this world. That's what makes me different.
What do you mean by that?
Because I just came late. It's like everybody was in a party and I came late.
Maybe it was the perfect timing.
Yeah, but everybody's dressed and I just got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, he's the different one in here. It's like, if we're having a whole party here and everybody got masks, I'm coming without a mask because didn't know there was supposed to be a mask in here. So I'm different.
Well, I guess that could be a good thing too, though.
I love it. I love it. I ain't got no problem with being different at all.
How do you think you've changed from the beginning of the season till now? Not even necessarily from a basketball standpoint, just you as a human.
It helped holding my, like, I mean, I'm more mature and, like, I think I'm able to see the other side of the medal because before it was just how I see it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't play me, that's what, because of this. You know what I'm saying? I don't make shots because of this. You know, everything was about what Chris wants. And then this year I had to learn that. I had to learn that, you know, first of all, basketball is a team sport, so you got to think about your team. I always was a good teammate, but I was always thinking about myself too, you know, and now I know what it is to have, you know, a team and being like through the ups and down and not, you know, not being so much about the moment, you know, like let's say I didn't play well and usually I'd be like, fuck this, fuck that. You know, now it's more, okay, I mean, I had a bad game, what can I do better and not make it go to the next day. And that's just something that I used to do when I was, you know, when I had nothing. And that's probably the best thing I did is going back to the Chris that had nothing. So now I'm grateful to with everything. Because when I had nothing, I was still grateful about just being able to be alive, you know. And now it's like little thing bothers you and you just want to start acting like, oh, this and that. No, I'm going back to old Chris, but it didn't bother me at all.
Now, we saw how you made that change to become a different player.
Yeah.
Right? Did you think that was something you'd ever have to do?
No. I thought I was going to be a sharp shooter. I thought I was going to be Kyle Korver for the Raptors. Like, just I'm coming over here, you put me in a game, I'm shooting threes. Mm. You know, that's what I thought I was going to do. And then I went to Tampa, and I was lights out. So I'm like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And then came back here, and I don't know, I left my sniper in Tampa because the first time, that was terrible. The first, I was shooting 18% from three, man.
That's pretty bad.
That's bricks, yeah. That's straight bricks. I'm building the house everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah. But then that made me realize that I needed to change and that I had way more abilities and I was capable to do a lot more than just shooting the ball.
Why do you think people in general take so long to make change?
Egos.
Egos.
If you can't fight your ego, you're not going to go anywhere. Like, your ego makes you do a lot of stuff. Like, you know when somebody hits your ego, there's a lot of stuff that you normally wouldn't be affected, but as soon as it hits your ego, you're just reacting to it. If you can't fight that, it's over. Like, I have a lot of stuff that I do, stuff that I react to, and that's just off my ego. I don't want my ego to be hurt. But like,
how does your ego develop to that?
When you start realizing what really pissed you off, and when it starts happening a bunch of times, like let's say every time you bring me water, you don't bring ice, and I hate that. You know, eventually I know you're just not going to bring me ice, so I'm not going to let that bother me. Mm-hmm. Next time I see the cup, I know it's not coming with ice, so I'm not going to let it bother me. But if my ego wants ice every time, I'm going to get mad at you every time you bring it with no ice.
Do you think you
understand,
should?
I understand
what you're saying. Okay. But are you saying, do you feel like you should
sure.
kind of get rid of the ego, or is it kind of beneficial to have a bit of an ego?
No, you need it. You can't get rid of it. I'm just saying, like, you got to be able to know that sometimes, mm-hmm. some situation, your ego has to be lesser than what's going in the situation. You can't bring it up as strong as everything. Sometimes you're not even part of the situation. You don't know what somebody else is going through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if you come here today and you're not feeling well, but I want you to be laughing, doing all that stuff. That mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't force you to be doing that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? My ego wants you to be happy here and be happy with me and all that. But if you're going through some stuff, I need to understand that.
Right, right.
Some stuff are just, you know, you need to be, to chill out, take your time, look yourself in the mirror and say, what would I like? Would I like that to happen if it was me? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then.
So sometimes you do have to make changes in your personality, your ego. What type of changes do you believe will make you a better player in regards to being on the court for next season?
I gotta just get to the next play. I think I got a big problem with that. Like, just because I made a lot of mistakes, so, and got pointed out a lot for it. So when now that I feel like I'm making less mistakes, it's hard mm-hmm. for me to not say something when somebody does it. And I got to get to that point where mistake is going to happen and go to the next one. But I feel like I got so into like trying to be a perfect player that now when somebody make a mistake, I'm over it, all over it, you know? But I need to get better at that.
I think you're a mid-range jumper away from being really,
I don't think
really
mid-range.
Good.
I don't think mid-range though.
That's, I know you don't.
That's the problem.
I know you don't.
But honestly, like, it's not.
You're a long range shooter.
Nah, man, I could drive the ball and do a lot of different stuff. I just gotta It's not my time yet. Like I said, it's not required for me yet to do that.
You've been putting the ball on the more on the floor more though, when, like later on the season.
When it was required to. When you like playoff basketball, when they close out to you fully, mm-hmm. you have to drive. That mm-hmm. is required for me. But when in the regular season, they're just lazy and leave me open, I got to shoot it. Mm-hmm. It's just not required for me to put the ball down. It's not required for me to bring the ball all the way full court when it's Scottie Barnes, Pascal, Fred, and Gary that could do it. You know, and I understood that. I wanted to do all that. Mm-hmm. But I understood it's not my role right now. And I'm doing a really good job just doing everything else. So that doesn't bother me anymore. Like, I've killed that Chris that wanted to be all offensive and bring the ball and do all the flashlight. I've realized I could do a lot of flashlight on defense. A lot of stuff that people can't even do. That won't even think that I would do it. Right. Jump, contest threes. Now people think that they know I could block threes. That stuff.
Block a lot of threes.
That. You can't do that. Mm. That's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? That's the same thing as you being an excellent three-point shooter. I'm an excellent shot blocker.
I think too many people are scared to try and block threes, though. Unlike you.
I don't think you could get to certain of them. I think that you need a perfect timing. You need to know when to jump. And also, most of the time when you jump, you need to not hit him. Like, I hit a couple
shooters
like two,
three times.
That's
why I think people
times.
Get scared.
Because they can't get there. That's why. If you know you can't get there, that's what you're scared. You're not scared of not being able to block. You just don't want to hit him because mm-hmm. you're late.
Right.
That's really what it is.
How do you do that, though, man?
I don't know,
because you're actually one of the best in league at blocking three-point shots.
Yeah, but y'all still hit on me when I do it sometimes, so I'm not going to talk about it because then after that, people are going to be like, that's what he does, and then I'm going to get punked more on it. So, no. But I'm going to keep doing it because, you know, obviously it seems like it's a specialty that I have.
What was the mood like when you do your exit interviews, you're talking to Bobby, you're talking to Coach Nick Nurse? What's the mood?
Thank you for everything. You guys like made me like such a better player and like, you know, made Toronto a home for me. Like, I literally became a different person coming here. I don't think like people see or realize how much growth I've made in the last 4 years, you know, and that I owed it all to Toronto. You know, I've been with Nick Nurse the whole time. I've been with Masai, Bobby the whole time, Jimbo, everybody, you know, and that's really what it was, is how far I came. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, that's a home for me, you know, but they understand I'm a free agent too and all, but, you know, I think it was more about talk about how good they think that I became and how proud they was, and that was it, really. Like, I didn't really have a conversation about if I wanted to stay or not. I think they really respected me on that part and mm-hmm. not asked me about that, so.
Have you spoken to any of your teammates thus far after the season?
Yeah, I talked to a few. They telling me to go live my life.
I mean.
And I should, but I was living my life in Toronto a little bit, just relaxing and not waking up for practice in the morning. So that felt good.
For all your super fans out there, what message would you have for them? Because you got some super fans out there now.
Man, I love them all, man. To be honest with you, like, when they see me in public and all that, rarely I don't say hi, man. Yeah. Like, I rarely just say I don't want to take a picture. And honestly, like, now it's becoming crazy. Like, now it's like, okay, I can't go anywhere. But rarely I say no. You know? So obviously they see that I love them. And then I try to respond to some of them sometimes and all, but.
You like it though, or can it be annoying? Or you seem like the kind of guy who doesn't mind.
Yeah. I mean, if he's like, hey, if I have headphones, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I got headphones, I'm probably vibing right now. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you see that I'm just chilling somewhere and I've been here for like 5 minutes, you might get your chance, you know? But that's it. Like, besides, I don't have no problem with anybody. Or if you yell, you're gone. You lost me. Can't do that.
Listen, man, on behalf of myself and all the Toronto Raptors fans, we want to say congrats.
Thanks,
on
man.
A very good season.
Thanks, man.
A lot of people are worried. We're worried because you played very well this season. And we know that the interest is going to be there for you, right? So a lot of people are really hoping you return to the T-Dot. But we got to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to wait and see what happens. But my guy, CB, appreciate you, my brother.
Thanks, yeah, man.
And before we get out of here, man, talk about your experience doing Hustle Play.
Hey, man, that was great, to be honest with you. Like, at first, when I first talked about having a podcast, you know, I wanted one for a long time. Mm. But, like, they were like, first of all, my English was not good enough. So, like, they were like, you know, you might not be able to hold a 30 minutes conversation and change subjects and stuff. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, that's kind of disrespectful. I'm coming here to get a show and you guys telling my English is bad. Like, you know, but then after that, I got better at it. You know, I got better at talking English without cursing every time. Cause then before there was a shit, fuck, or what the fuck at every sentence.
Classic CB, you know, like, right there.
Every time, every sentence. So then I had to figure out a way to take that out. And then, I became more, you know, out there. Like, I became easier to talk to, and people wanted to know more about me. And then you guys came, and it's been great.
Listen, man, once again, I appreciate you, my brother. You had a really good season.
Thanks, man.
And a lot of us are hoping that you will return to the Toronto Raptors next year. But we got to wait and see what happens. But this is Hustle Play with Chris Boucher. I am Mike Roach.
Thank you,
and
man,
we're out, boy.
Thanks, man.
Here's Boucher. The three, got it from Montreal. His name is Chris Boucher.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.